puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And now it's time once again for Abandoned Manitoba, where we're going to check in with Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Keisha.
What are we discussing this week?
Well, there's an abandonment happening right here in Winnipeg that at least one local journalist has described as a plague. Well, that's a pretty harsh word for what I think is a difficult problem, and it's going to be the topic of our conversation today. The plague refers to an abundance of vacant buildings around the city.
Well, why are these vacant buildings considered a plague?
Well, because there's just so many of them, especially in certain areas of the city, and because they jeopardize public safety.
How so?
Well, such buildings are often subject to acts of vandalism, arson fires, and other miscellaneous crimes. Earlier this year, two vacant apartment blocks on William Avenue and Sherbrooke Street were destroyed by fire. Some of the vacant buildings sustained fires multiple times, and therefore they become an undue burden on the city's firefighters. The Winnipeg Fire Paramedic Service has reported that in the first 3 months of this year, 2022, it responded to 8 fires in vacant structures, and that number more than doubled over the past 4 years. Back in 2017, there were 30 such fires over the course of the year. As recently as 2021, that number had jumped to over 64 fires. You know, when firefighters and emergency personnel enter a vacant building, they may be putting themselves at risk when the building's maintenance has been neglected for a long time. You know, for example, when there are gaping holes in the floor that somebody could fall through, or when the treads of stairways are rotten and simply can't hold the weight.
Why are such fires happening in the city so much?
A cynical view is that buildings that have been empty for a long time may be subject to what we could call friction fires. Those are ones that are initiated by, well, perhaps somebody acting on behalf of the owner. They occur when the deed or the mortgage for the building rubs against the insurance policy. So Interpret that as you will. Well, sometimes when the building stands on land that is valuable for redevelopment, failing to maintain an old vacant building may be a conscious strategy to hasten its downfall. And this is sometimes called demolition by neglect, and it seems to happen more often than I think we know. But we shouldn't presume that the owners of vacant buildings are all corrupt and dishonest. Fires can be the result of trespassers who force their way inside a building to escape from the cold. The Winnipeg Vacant Buildings Bylaw requires that empty buildings must be boarded up to discourage people with nefarious intents from getting inside.
And what is the Vacant Buildings Bylaw?
It's a bylaw that was passed by the Winnipeg City Council 12 years ago in 2010. Its purpose is to discourage building abandonment, and in so doing, reduce the risk of fires, reduce the risk to city personnel, reduce the extent of illegal activities that may occur in and around such buildings, reduce the devaluation of surrounding property, and to prevent buildings from standing empty for long periods. The objective of the bylaw is to encourage building owners to bring their property up to habitable standards so they can become occupied again, or, failing that, to demolish them.
So how does the city ensure that vacant buildings are actually boarded up?
Well, that could be a problem. Well, there is a boarded building permit that landowners must purchase before they board up their property. It's basically designed to discourage long-term boarding. A permit for a boarded up residence costs about $2,500. That's quite a bit of money. And that amount increases by another $2,000 for each subsequent year that the permit is renewed. So it can get pretty expensive after a while. For commercial buildings, the cost of a building permit is the same for a house if it's the owner's first permit. The cost rises for each additional building. So, for example, if the owner had 4 boarded up buildings, the 4th permit would cost $8,000.
What happens, Gordon, if a building owner boards up a building without paying for the permit?
Right. You think with all that money, they might just sort of conveniently forget to pay it. Well, in fact, there's a $1,000 penalty if they do that. And that penalty, along with the permit cost, is then added to the property taxes for the building. So really, the owner can't ignore the fine.
And then what do you think happens after a building has received a boarded building permit?
Well, boarded up residential and commercial buildings are required to be inspected annually when they've been the subject of complaints from neighbors. That's usually the best way. Neighbors notice when things aren't being done and they alert the city, and then they send out the inspectors. Sometimes, you know, when a building is visibly dilapidated or when it's been vacant for extended periods of time, that's what brings the inspectors too. These inspections cost the owner $630 if the building is found to be in compliance with the bylaw. In other words, if everything's okay and they still go out to inspect, they send a bill to the owner. If they find that the building is not in compliance with the bylaw, so for example, if they haven't boarded it properly to keep people out, then the cost of the inspection is doubled. It's over $1,200. And when a residence that has been boarded up is inspected and it's found to be okay, it's potentially reoccupiable, well, it can't be reoccupied until an occupancy certificate is issued, and that requires that an inspection be done.
Wow, that seems like a lot of incentives to prevent vacant buildings.
Oh, but wait, there's more. In 2020, the City Council amended the vacant buildings bylaw to add what they called an empty building fee that is intended to encourage owners of buildings that have been empty for 5 or more years to either occupy the building or reuse it in some other way or to demolish it. That fee is equal to 1% of the assessed value of the property. So in other words, if you had a building that was worth, say, $1 million, your fee would be $10,000. And that fee is assessed every year until the building is inspected and reoccupied. So that could get pretty expensive pretty fast.
Oh, absolutely. With all that going on, how many vacant buildings would you say there are here in Winnipeg?
It's hard to know for certain. I tried to contact the Bylaw Enforcement Office of the City of Winnipeg. They're the ones that do the inspections, and I thought they would be able to give me these statistics. Well, unfortunately, they never responded to my inquiry, so I didn't get an official response. But back in June of this year, there was a story in a local newspaper. It said that the city has 568 registered vacant homes. This, however, I think is a substantial underestimate. You know, each year, a couple hundred homes are added to the list, and I'm told that maybe as many as another couple hundred are taken off the list. So the list stands at about 600, but community activists claim that there's at least another 100 unsecured homes that are not registered with the city. And, you know, they should be subject to that fine that I mentioned before, but for one reason or another, they seem to just slip under the radar. And I think that the reason for this is that the bylaw enforcement, that capability that the city has, is simply not adequate. They don't have enough inspectors to go out and check on things. And so these activists argue the city needs more building inspectors. The statistic for the number of vacant buildings also does not include commercial buildings, which by definition are any buildings that are not residences. There's no official numbers that I've been able to find on how many of those there are. But based on my own experience walking around the city, there's plenty of them.
Are the vacant buildings distributed throughout the city, or are they concentrated in a particular area, do you think?
Well, they seem to be most abundant in the downtown core of the city, and that's where buildings are older and therefore more likely to cost more to repair and or to upgrade. And, you know, frankly, where poverty may make it difficult for residents to maintain their buildings. The areas of greatest concentration of vacant homes are said to be the area north of the Canadian Pacific Tracks, you know, the railway line, in North Point Douglas, and in the West End area north of Portage Avenue.
It sounds like a challenge with no real easy solution.
No, you know, the abundance of vacant homes in other buildings in Winnipeg has really complex social and economic causes. And although the city's bylaw that was passed 12 years ago was intended to solve the problem, arguably the situation is even worse today. And I think that's why it really does justify the word plague.
Yeah, I'm understanding the reasoning a little bit more for that word. Now, how about you give us a hint about next week's episode?
Well, my organization, the Manitoba Historical Society, is one of 8 provincial heritage agencies, or PHAs, that receive government funding for their operations. for the last 2 years, representatives of the PHAs have been meeting to discuss problems that we think could lead to the collapse of Manitoba's heritage community. So next week, I'm going to discuss these problems and what the PHAs think can be done to correct them.
Very much looking forward to that conversation.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.